Blackstone Audio presents Between Planets by Robert A. Heinlein. This book is read by Andrew Iden. Chapter 1. Easy, boy, easy. Don Harvey reined in the fat little cowpony. Ordinarily, Lazy lived up to his name. Today, he seemed to want to go places. Don hardly blamed him. It was such a day as comes only to New Mexico. With sky scrubbed clean by a passing shower, the ground already dry, but with a piece of rainbow still hanging in the distance. The sky was too blue, the buttes too rosy, and the far reaches too sharp to be quite convincing. Incredible peace hung over the land, and with it, a breathless expectancy of something wonderful about to happen. "We've got all day," he cautioned Lazy, "so don't get yourself in a lather. That's a stiff climb ahead." Don was riding alone because he had decked out Lazy in a magnificent Mexican saddle his parents had ordered sent to him for his birthday. It was a beautiful thing, as gaudy with silver as an Indian buck. But it was as out of place at the ranch school he attended as formal clothes at a branding, a point which his parents had not realized. Don was proud of it, but the other boys rode plain stock saddles. They kidded him unmercifully, and had turned Donald James Harvey into Don Jamie when he first appeared with it. Lazy suddenly shied. Don glanced around, spotted the cause, whipped out his gun, and fired. He then dismounted, throwing the reins forward so that Lazy would stand, and examined his work. In the shadow of a rock, a fair-sized snake, seven rattles on its tail, was still twitching. Its head lay by it, burned off. Don decided not to save the rattles. Had he pinpointed the head, he would have taken it to show his marksmanship. As it was, he had been forced to slice sideways with the beam before he got it. If he brought in a snake killed in such a clumsy fashion, someone would be sure to ask him why he hadn't used a garden hose. He let it lie and remounted while talking to Lazy. "Just a no-good old sidewinder," he said reassuringly. "More scared of you than you were of it." He clucked, and they started off. A few hundred yards further on, Lazy shied again, not from a snake this time, but from an unexpected noise. Don pulled him in and spoke severely. "You bird-brained butterball, when are you going to learn not to jump when the telephone rings?" Lazy twitched his shoulder muscles and snorted. Don reached for the pommel, removed the phone, and answered. "Mobile 6J233309, Don Harvey speaking."
"Mr. Reeves, Don,"
came back the voice of the headmaster of Ranchito Alegre.
"Where are you?"
"Headed up Peddler's Grave Mesa, sir."
"Get home as quickly as you can."
What's up, sir?"
"Radiogram from your parents. I'll send the copter out for you if the cook is back, with someone to bring your horse in."
Don hesitated. He didn't want just anybody to ride Lazy, like as not getting him overheated and failing to cool him off. On the other hand, a radio from his folks could not help but be important. His parents were on Mars, and his mother wrote regularly, every ship. But radiograms, other than Christmas and birthday greetings, were almost unheard of.
"I'll hurry, sir."
"Right."
Mr. Reeves switched off. Don turned Lazy and headed back down the trail. Lazy seemed disappointed and looked back accusingly. As it turned out, they were only a half mile from the school when the ranch copter spotted them. Don waved it off and took Lazy on in himself. Despite his curiosity, he delayed to wipe down the pony and water it before he went in. Mr. Reeves was waiting in his office and motioned for him to come in. He handed Don the message. It read, "Dear son, passage reserved for you. Valkyrie, Circumterra, 12 April. Love, mother and dad." Don blinked at it, having trouble taking in the simple facts.
"But that's right away."
"Yes, you weren't expecting it?"
Don thought it over. He had halfway expected to go home, if one could call it going home when he had never set foot on Mars, at the end of the school year, if they had arranged his passage for the Vanderdeck in 3 months from now.
Not exactly. I can't figure out why they would send for me before the end of the term."
Mr. Reeves fitted his fingertips carefully together.
"I'd